This is a production of Memberchere Media, a ministry of TWR. It's copyrighted and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again, this is Brent with Paul, and we're talking about sexual wholeness. We're continuing our conversation of how we begin to talk about it, but we're taking a slightly different stance, and that is, what if you're on the other side of the fence? You're the spouse that's wondering about your spouse. In some cases, you're the wife wondering about your husband, let's just say, and you say, how do I bring up my concerns?
Right. Yeah, I envision the person sitting there listening to what we've been talking about, and when we describe the core issues, to go, uh-oh, well, they've got that one, and they've got that one, and they've got that one. They have this one, too. I think the way to talk about it is using gentleness and wisdom, not accusing. This isn't a place to go in and accuse. When we talked about the core characteristics, those aren't ways to figure out if your spouse or someone you care about is doing the behavior. If you're concerned, it's first recognizing the concern, looking it over, looking at why. You know, I'm concerned because of this. Then asking yourself the question, okay, they may have had these things going on, but are there other things going on? Do they tend to be secretive? Do you not have access to a computer? Do they spend a lot of time up late on the computer? Are they gone and not giving explanations of where they go? Do you catch them watching certain things and the TV immediately goes off? If you're concerned, I think the first thing to do is to write them. I love having people write, and to write a letter just sharing your concern, not accusing. Not saying, okay, well, I know you're doing this, and I don't love you anymore, or I'm going to leave you if you don't change it, but sharing your concern. Even writing and blaming you and I, Brent, saying, you know what, I was listening to this message, and you know what, it got me thinking, and I just want you to know that I'm willing to talk to you about it if there's something like this going on, because I love you, because I care for you. You know, a lot of times when we get married, we forget that we're also brother and sister in Christ. To be able to come along, for the sister in Christ to come along the brother in Christ and say, you know what, brother in Christ, I'm concerned about you. And I want to talk with you about it. I want to feel like I can have this conversation. So it's requesting permission to have that conversation.
Yeah. I like the idea of asking permission, requesting permission, because so often when we talk about difficult issues as a couple, it can very easily feel like one is badgering the other, or one is forcing the other, you know, and, well, of course we're going to talk about this now because this is a problem and I'm not going to go to sleep till this happens. Sometimes it may be better to, much more advantageous to take a very much more passive role of, there is an issue that we need to talk about and bring that up. I think it's also probably not always the best to say, well, you know, I've been talking to four of my friends and they're praying for me right now as I bring this up. To start a conversation with that, probably that'd make me feel really threatened.
Right.
Oh my gosh, the whole neighborhood knows.
Right.
You know. Oh, now I feel more shame. Oh, I don't want to admit anything. How do I trust you and stuff like that? You know, we talked earlier about going to somebody to say, how can I begin this or pray for me? I think that's very appropriate, but I don't think we use that as a sledgehammer to beat the other person up with.
Right. And it's making sure that initial contact is not accusation. Because especially in this case, we're not talking about a clear-cut example of finding something. We're saying you're concerned and you're wondering. And just asking, just a note, hey, is everything okay? I know for me, I appreciate that when I get the notes from Julie that I'll say, you know, hey, noticed you haven't been, you know, getting up and getting your devotion time in, or you seem a little more distant. Is everything okay? No, I'm praying for you today. Now, there's the part of me that kind of goes, well, you know, well, I'm up before you, but you
how
know
do you know what
that's
I'm
right.
doing?
How do you know what I'm doing? But you know what? What I realize is that is my sister in Christ. That's my sister in Christ demonstrating concern for me, and it's always done in the spirit of love. I think the other case is going to be, what if we find something? What if we know that we know that we know that our spouse struggles in this area? If we found something on the computer. If we see that our spouse does certain things and our spouse kind of dismisses it or says, oh, it wasn't that big a deal, or, oh, don't worry about it, or, oh, it's what guys do. That's not the truth. It's not what godly guys do. It's not what godly guys do if we want to be in sexual wholeness. Having that conversation, and again, loving but firm, and being very specific. If there's something on the computer, taking them to that place on the computer and saying, I found this, I'm concerned, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, that's really good. I was flashing on something here, that there's somebody that's going to be looking at these issues and saying, well, we don't even talk about the weather. How am I supposed to talk about sexual wholeness or sexual issues with my spouse? And, you know, I think we're making an obvious assumption here, and I wanted to clarify that, you know, this isn't something that you just insert into your life in isolation of everything else. You have to build up to some of this stuff in order to be the most effective at it. I'm not saying you can't talk about it, but don't expect a whole bunch of really positive, successful outcomes if you're not communicating regularly.
Right, if you're
outside of this. Yeah, if you're out of shape, yeah,
right.
It ain't going to work.
If you're out of shape in communication, when you do a bunch of exercise, you're going to be sore. And this is a high-risk conversation. And two, I mean, it's easy for me sitting in this chair to assume that it's going to be safe to have that conversation. I realize that there are relationships where it's not safe. It's not safe,
right,
to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And to trust, you know, and to trust your instinct in that case. But being able to bring it out into the light. And there's two different strategies. The one, you know what, if I'm just wondering, if I'm concerned, I think that's beneficial to men to have a spouse demonstrate a concern in their life for that area, to be praying for their spouse in that area for protection, for covering, for safety. The other case is, you know
yeah,
that they're doing it. And again, bringing it up in a spirit of love, saying, you know what, this is a concern. I'm concerned about this. This is a problem. Yet this is something that we can get through together.
Yeah.
Let's get through this together.
What you just said about praying for your spouse, I think that's another good way to start. You know, if you're concerned or worried about your spouse, you could become accusatory. Or you could say, wow, you know, this series about sexual wholeness has opened my eyes up to another arena that I need to pray specifically for you, honey, particularly as you're gone 3 weeks a month, and I want you to know that I'm going to be praying for you on these issues. And that may be all that you say the first time. After a couple of months, you say, well, you know, have you noticed anything different?
Right.
Or when he came back, did you notice anything different on that trip or whatever? Yeah, you know, I felt more cared for or whatever. You know,
right.
And then is there anything specific that I can pray for? So over the period of a number of months, you've moved from not talking to praying to dialoguing about prayer, to talking about prayer needs,
right,
to talking about it. And it was a beautiful progression from a feared subject to active dialogue.
This conversation, it's not going to be one conversation about sexual wholeness that makes everything okay. This is going to be a process. It's an ongoing process. If the individual's actively struggling, it's 3 to 5 years while they're still struggling. That doesn't mean that they have to be continuing to do what they're doing, but it can take 3 to 5 years to get behaviors normalized, to get thoughts normalized, feelings normalized, to rebuild a relationship. But then it's ongoing, even after it's stabilized. For people who don't struggle in the areas of their sexuality, it's because they're talking about it. They're having conversations. They talk. They have accountability people around them. That relationship, that marital relationship, has open communication. Those are things that are ongoing. Take time. This isn't a quick fix. It's going to be a lifelong conversation.
Well, and for those people that just gave up when you said 3 to 5 years and
right,
are having trouble listening, the issue is not that, you know, this is some sort of punishment, but it is the process of bringing the this into the fabric of daily life.
Right.
I mean, that's what we were sentenced to when we got married.
That's right.
We were sentenced to working on communication and trying to understand this other person that just drives us crazy sometimes, and we just love to pieces the next time.
Right.
And figuring out how to build and maintain and develop and grow a relationship with them. So it's not some bad thing that comes in. It is part and parcel of the fabric of our life, the fabric of our marriage and our being, and in our spiritual life, that we have to talk about these things. And then it's not that oppressive burden. You know, I think your 3 to 5 years thing is for people who obviously are having a problem with this, and getting back. For those others that are listening, that there really isn't any major problem, the bringing of our sexuality, our sexual life, our understandings, thoughts, and feelings, and attitudes into a more overt part of our marriage is a lifelong opportunity.
And it's an ongoing process. It's a developmental process. You know, a lot of people react on the 3 to 5 years. They say, oh, what does that mean? I think that the 3 to 5 years is kind of an arbitrary number. And it's more designed to help people realize it's going to be a process.
Yeah.
There's, you know, with my son Jeremiah, he's developmentally, there's certain things he's supposed to be doing at 5. And he'll do other things at 7. It's just part of a process, ongoing. And God's grace is sufficient.
Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this Member Care Media presentation. We hope you found it helpful. Please explore the many other topics on this website. We invite your comments and your suggestions. This feature may not be reproduced without written permission.